Yeah, so thank you very much. And I, you know, one of the organizers, it's not a good idea to thank organizers, but I want to thank real organizers, whoever they are, because they did all the work. So I did not plan to talk because Peter Benk was presenting our project, but because Thomas Björk could not come, we decided not to waste this time slot, and, you know, I used my power to put myself on it. And so you have maybe certain teaching experiment when same paper is presented twice. At the same time, you know, it's a big project, and big maybe because we don't know how to really do things properly. Two papers, both of them more than 60 pages, so it's a lot of work, and there is a lot of material which Peter did not have time to mention. So I listened to his talk, and then in my presentation today, I want to address those sides of our model which were not discussed and present results which Peter did not have time to present. So the purpose is to present a model for large investor who trades at market in different prices, and let me immediately define what I mean by the model. The model is a box which takes an input and produces output, and as always in mathematical finance, input is a strategy which is formally defined in terms of predictable process of the number of stocks. And output is, you know, remaining ingredient of the strategy, which is cash balance process. For example, if I want to define model for small economic agent, our standard model in mathematical finance, then we assume that price process for the stocks is given to us as input to the model, and then when we take strategy Q, the cash balance which we have in our portfolio at time t will be the cumulative gain from the strategy, and in our talk I will always assume that interest rate is zero. QUDFU minus amount of money invested into stocks. So this is description of model for small economic agent. To specify this model, all we have to do is to specify price process for the stocks. Our goal is to create model for large economic agent or have financial model with price impact, equivalencing. And when we have price impact, we mean that now price process for the stocks should depend in a certain way on strategy Q. So the description of this functional dependency is what we want to obtain. So when we started this project quite a time ago, then of course we looked into literature, and it was interesting to see that in the literature, of course, this question was addressed, but we could see two groups of our colleagues. First group was very close to us, people from mathematical finance, and they defined model with price impact in very similar way to the problem for small economic agent. The price impact effect was modeled directly, was input to the model. So you write some equation for the price of the stock, which depends on your trading strategy in explicit form, and then you work with this model. You verify whether there is an arbitrage, you look at the problem of optimal investment, and so on. And other group of people are people from finance and economics, and they did things which are more clever in my opinion. They said that, okay, and this corresponds to the basic problem in economics, price So in finance is input, in mathematical finance it's input, in economics this functional dependence was always an output. This is something which we have to compute, and it has to be an output of some equilibrium problem. And, you know, in my opinion, economists here behaved more as mathematicians than people here in math finance, because in mathematics we are of course interested in production of new results, but probably even more we are interested in reducing the number of assumptions. So this is what we want to do in mathematics. We want to have framework which is stable, fixed, and then in the same stable framework we want to obtain different results. And this is why we like so much this model for small economic agent, because it's always the same model, but then you produce a number of equivalences. You impose conditions on price process S so that you have fundamental theorems of asset pricing, but you always start with the same model. And the approach when we write different models, you know, it's not, in my opinion, really mathematics, it's financial engineering. So you are really interested to capture some phenomena in practice and you cook model for that. In mathematics, you want to have framework which is stable, and use this framework which is always the same and produce results. And this is what economists did, because equilibrium setup is stable. Something you can always start with and then play with it in order to produce certain consequences. So I will start now with the description of our equilibrium framework. In this framework we have two ingredients. First we have M capital market participants, finite number of them. We call them market makers. And we have to specify the equilibrium framework here. We have to define usual properties, which we have to define in order to have valid equilibrium. We first assume that all market makers share same information and probabilistic structure. We have given a filtered probability space. Probability measure P is common measure of beliefs for each of the market makers. Our economy will cease to exist at time t capital. Everything will become cash, this cash will be consumed at time t capital. So we are in the framework of expected utility maximization, if you like. And we have to specify preferences of market makers with respect to terminal consumption. In addition to the measure P, we also have to define the utility functions. And I want to keep all assumptions in our talk somewhere, so I will write them here. So not only qualitatively I want to be precise, but also I want to be precise sort of mathematically. First assumption which we have to impose here on the structure of utility functions is that each utility function is strictly increasing, strictly concave, C1, and bounded above. And when it's bounded above, it's increasing, has limited infinity. We assume to simplify notation so that this limit is zero. Of course, we want to keep our model as general as possible, and you definitely can ask, do you really need this assumption? We don't for a while, but at the end, for crucial results, we need it, because boundedness from above will be implied from assumption 3 here, boundedness of risk aversion. Okay. No, it's a deterministic function. It's a utility function. Or something like, our utility functions are defined on real line. Now, you always have choice where to work. in the framework of small economic agents, it's easier to work with utility functions on positive real line. Here it's easier to work with utility functions on the whole real line. So we made choice, of course, where technicalities are simpler. Good. And finally, in order to define equilibrium, we assume that our makers, market makers, have some endowments. This endowment for market maker is, for market maker with index M, is alpha M. This is random variable, which is FT capital measurable. And alpha M represents the amount of money our market maker with index M will get at maturity T capital if large agent will not trade. So this is the amount of money which market maker will get at maturity if large agent introduced later will not trade. We assume now that we have the classical form of equilibrium here, this random endowments form Pareto allocation. Which means that there is no definition, I hope is well known, we cannot find any other allocation beta with same random endowment as our allocation alpha m. Let me put index 0 here. This is our initial allocation, but large and when large investor is not trading. We cannot find allocation beta with the same total endowment as our allocation alpha 0, such that for every m, the quality of allocation beta is higher than the quality of allocation alpha. Xm here, strictly greater. So you cannot find allocation beta with this property, and this exactly definition of Pareto optimality, our economic market makers arrive to the situation when it does not make sense for them to trade with each other anymore. They're in equilibrium. Okay. Of course, second ingredient should be the stocks, which later our large economic agent will trade. We assume immediately that interest rate is zero. So interest rate is given exogenously, it's zero. And then we want to define these stocks. In the model for small economic agent, we define stocks in terms of price process S. Now we want to use equilibrium-based framework, in which case price process is not an input but an output. And how to achieve that? You have to specify cash flow, which is generated by ownership of each swap, of each stock. You have to specify the flow of dividends. And we assume here that our stocks are contingent claims. The same maturity T capital and with payments Psi J. We have J capital contingent claims. So these are the claims, these are the dividends which we have, which are given to us by the model. And then how equilibrium works? It works in the following way. Initial allocation for market makers is Pareto optimal. This means that there is pricing measure. Which comes from the first order condition of optimality, pricing measure Q, which density with respect to reference probability P is some constant, And here we have derivative of utility function computed at allocation alpha m0. So we have here same expression for different m capital. Of course, this constant will depend on index m. So this is Pareto pricing measure. When we have Pareto pricing measure, we can specify price process. ST, again, maybe it's appropriate to put here index 0. So price process, which we have now in the situation when large investor did not trade. And this price process is conditional expected value of psi given FT. So we have equilibrium set up, and it shows us how, given these inputs, the description of beliefs and endowments for market participants, how these inputs produce output, which is the price which we observe on the market. Okay, and this is standard. What is great about this model, the diff framework is fixed, it's classical, it appears in every economic book, and we can always start with this model if we want to model something like price input. No, but I postulated that, you know, I assume that my economy is in equilibrium before large trader trades. And equilibrium means, and this is a very basic concept of equilibrium, that endowments of market makers satisfy Pareto optimality. So this is what equilibrium means. In this case, yes, of course, because it's defined by this expression. Now, there are problems like, yes, it's given to us. We know that this allocation is Pareto optimal, and then necessary condition of optimality implies that this random variables are different between each other only up to a constant, and you can define this. And, well, nothing new here, but it shows us, you know, how people in economic literature model price impact, because the direction of implications is the following. You specify strategy Q. Using the strategy, you trade with the market. As a result of this strategy, total endowment in the economy will change. Because total endowment in the economy changes, market participants will have to organize another equilibrium with each other. They have to change their initial Pareto allocation to another Pareto allocation, arrive to another state of equilibrium. So we get different Pareto allocation here. And different Pareto allocation leads to different pricing measure, and therefore leads to different price process, and we get price impact effect. This depends on the model, and this is what I want to discuss first. Yeah? So this is just the basic perspective, how to model price impact. So you start with equilibrium, then when you trade with strategy Q, you change total endowment in the economy, equilibrium changes, price and measure changes, price process which you observe changes as well. Huh? It might not be, because, you know, it's very much, because so far, the description of the model is not complete. But, no, intuitively, it has to be this way. Because if, you know, it's just from the formulation of the problem, I want to have price impact. And price impact means that I want to describe the nature of the price process which I observe, depending on my strategy. And any price process, when we observe it, is the result of equilibrium. So, because what is price process? In equilibrium between demand and supply. So that's No, if you want to follow this sort of standard trajectory in economic literature, I would like to continue. I would let me continue, you know, because unless you give me double slot. Well, there is second assumption here, integrability assumption, which we have to impose on random endowments. Let me write it. When we introduce large economic agent, our agent trades with market makers. In this case, the total endowment in the economy changes from initial endowment, which is sum of initial allocations, to new endowment, and if we denote by X cash, additional cash absorbed by all market makers, and Q total quantity of stocks absorbed by all market makers, then total endowment becomes of this form. And in order to ensure that everything will work here mathematically, we have to impose condition so that things are non-trivial. For every X and Q, we can find allocation beta such that the total amount of money invested in allocation beta is sigma XQ, and expected utilities for every market maker are greater than minus infinity. So you want to avoid infinities, and I want to be precise. So this is the assumption which we make. It's necessary. You cannot avoid it. Because if you don't have this assumption, then nothing good will happen. Okay, now so far, you know, we have not finished with the description of the model. We just defined equilibrium. But this is not sufficient in order to have the model. You can write many equilibrium models starting from this framework. And my favorite way to think about our model where we trade at market indifference prices is to explain this model from the point of view of information. And, you know, explanation is the following. I will draw here two graphs. Here I will have graph for my strategy Q, depending on time. Below I will have graph for observed price for the stock. So this is the price of the stock. It depends on Q, which we observe. Okay, this is maturity T capital. First, we don't have large economic agent, or his strategy is zero. In this case, we observe this price S. This is particular sample path of this trajectory. At this moment, the value for price S is given to us. It is given, it equals to the value of the dividend, which is present in a particular stock. Yeah. So at maturity T capital, you know what the value of the stock will be for whatever situations. And let us look at some simple example of strategy, which will be buy and hold strategy, but it will take place not at time zero, but at some time tau. So at time tau, say 1 week later, we decided to buy one stock. Our large agent decided to buy one stock. And we want to understand what will happen qualitatively with the dynamic of the price process S, how it will change. So I have tau here, and okay, as a mathematician, I like very much situation when things are adaptive. So will we have change in the price of the stock here? Well, because trading takes place at time tau, we might not have it, so our strategy will follow same trajectory As in the case of no trade up to time tau, here trading takes place, our price of the stock changes, and then at maturity it should converge, of course, to the same value. So this is one possible qualitative picture which we have, and what this picture depends on, it depends on information assumptions. What market makers know about the strategy of large economic agents. So we have here adaptivity property. One possible way, and this is exactly the property which we use in order to write our model. Adaptivity property, the price of the stock which we observe at time t as a result of our strategy Q depends only on the strategy Q up to time t. Does not depend on the future. It's interesting to note that all papers, let me be careful, say almost all papers in mathematical finance literature are of this kind. So these are the papers where the price of the stock at time t depends on what large economic agent did before. Now what about economic literature? In economic literature, situation is totally different. In fact, in economic literature, if you follow classic algebra framework, then information assumption is that everybody knows everything about everybody, and so our market makers already at time zero will know that our large economic agent will buy one stock at time tau, and therefore they will change their allocations immediately. So in the case of algebra, change in the price of the stock will occur not at time tau, but at time zero. And you have a valid perfect model for large economic agent, which was studied in economic literature. There are papers of Lasse Peterson about that, and David Joman, my PhD students, did some work on continuous time extension. So it's again very nice, mathematically very sophisticated framework. In which case, we can sort of compare Ariodi-Breu framework with this adaptivity assumption nicely in the case when all utilities are exponential. When all utilities are exponential, the dependence of observable prices on strategy Q in Ariodi-Breu framework is totally different from adaptive behavior. The price of the stock depends on the future, does not depend on the past. And definitely there are many models in between. Yeah? I don't want to say that our model is the best one. In fact, I don't think so. So there are models for optimal liquidations of positions, some Green-Kreis models, where there is penalization on the speed of liquidation, and we don't have it. But you know, this model which we study, model where trading occurs at market indifference prices, or equivalently, the model where, as a result of the trade, expected utilities of market makers will not change, is nothing else as a sum of two ingredients here. First ingredient is Pareto optimality, as our choice for equilibrium framework, and second is adaptivity. So if you want to have price process which shares this adaptivity property, plus you want to use Pareto optimality as a framework for equilibrium, then you obtain exactly the framework where trading occurs at market indifference prices. As a result of the trade, expected utilities of market makers will not change. Which is very easy to explain, because if market makers do not know anything what I'm going to do in the future, then what I can do with this big order? I can split it into a sum of very small orders, each of the small orders will occur at marginal price, because marginal prices, these Pareto prices, are the prices where in the first order utility of market makers will not change. So I split any market model into some of small orders. Each of these small orders will be executed at the corresponding Pareto prices. Expected utility as a result of the trade will not change. Okay, good. Why only 15 minutes? Now let me move to mathematics, and after that we have valid mathematical model which we can study. And first step in this case is to consider the case of simple strategies. And this case is simple. You write elementary proof on one page almost immediately without any extra properties using standard techniques from probability, and you obtain that in this case you can find unique simple cash balance process. So the main work is of course to extend the framework of strategies from simple strategies to continuous ones. And this is what we want to do, and this task is very similar to what we have to do in the framework of small economic agent. In the framework of small economic agent, this is the reason why we choose process as capital to be a semi-martingale, because in this case we can extend simple integrants to continuous integrants, and this is what is behind the construction of stochastic integrants. So we want to repeat this procedure here, and let me state, before stating the results, let me immediately state, questions, because this is how you do research. You do it very quickly for simple strategies, and then you formulate questions which you want to answer, and these questions are very natural because they were asked already regarding the construction of stochastic integrant. So I want my model to possess a number of properties, and property A is nothing else as closability. So if we have sequence, let me say, for any simple strategy Q with cash balance process X, we need to have the following property in order for something reasonable to happen. If we fix Q, it's simple, we know it's simple cash balance process X, we want the following property to hold, that in this case, for any sequence Qn of simple strategies, Xn is the corresponding cash balances of simple strategies. If we have that simple strategies Qn converge to strategy Q in UCP topology, uniform convergence and probability. This is our notation for Qn minus Q star. If we have this convergence to zero in probability, then we want to have the following property. We want to ensure that in this case, cash balances also converge to zero in probability. Yes, please. There is a randomness in stock prices, of course, there are stochastic processes. Yeah? Why? Sorry? No, but this is Q, this is not S. This X? No, but this is what Peter explained yesterday, yeah? You go, you start with buy and hold strategy. This is a problem of convex optimization. You solve it. You can nicely solve it using a duo technique for set of functions. So I just, you know, assume that this first step was performed. Okay. Stocks, because it's cash balance. So I traded today, I got cash balance, I'm not trading anymore. Why should cash fluctuate? I put it in the bank account at zero interest rate, yeah? Okay. No, there is no issue with Pareto optimality. By definition, it's unique. There is an issue with uniqueness of Pareto de Brio, but this is... No, it's you know, it's very simple. You trade theta n at time t n. Okay, you arrive to theta n with some Pareto optimal location. You trade theta n, and then you choose xi n, so that when this new additional increment in the endowment is redistributed between market makers in the form of Pareto optimal location, you have the situation where the expected utilities are preserved. And these two conditions, that first this extra capital is redistributed in terms of Pareto allocation plus expected utilities are preserved, allows you to determine xi n uniquely. Well, there are no weights here. You know, these weights are technicalities. We are weights. Well, these are normalizing constants. Yeah. So we can, of course, in technicalities there are weights, of course, and weights change and so on. But what's expected? Yes, it determines weights, of course, uniquely. Yeah. It determines Pareto allocation uniquely, and there is nice way to parameterize Pareto allocations in a finite dimensional fashion is to parameterize them in terms of vectors on a simplex, interior of a simplex. So we want to have this property closability, which is, you know, what we had for small economic agent, which we need to have in order to have any decent theory. And, you know, very often, strangely enough, the fact that this property needs to be satisfied for reasonable financial model is overlooked, for example, in the papers of Protter, Setien, and Gerow. If you start with continuously differentiable processes, and then you require closability property, then you get back and scores again. There is no pricing. Yeah? So this is, we should not forget that, of course, for reasonable models, this property should be satisfied. And if this property holds, then we want to have other properties. There is property B, which I will skip because of lack of time. Property C is natural here. For any strategy, for any predictable process Q with left continuous and right limit trajectories, we have same implication here. There is process X such that same implication as before for any now not simple but strategy with left continuous and right limit trajectories, we can find process X. Again, it will be automatically with left continuous and right limit trajectories, such that for any sequence of simple strategies Qn which converge uniformly to Q, and this is what restricts Q to be of this shape, we have this convergence. And this is how we construct stochastic integral, for example, in Protter's book. You start with this class of integrants, you construct it. So you want to have these two properties, and then you have well-defined mathematical problem. Yeah, you want to understand what assumptions I have to make on my inputs. These are the assumptions which I made so far. What else I need to make in order to ensure that everything works? And under assumptions 1 and 2 only, you can define uniquely simple cash balance process, but we don't know whether the closability property is true. We need to have something more. And what we need to have? Okay, first of all, we need to have condition that absolute risk aversion coefficient for every market maker minus is bounded away from infinity and zero. C is constant. We need to have that, and this implies in particular that utility functions are bounded above. Okay. Fourth, we have to use Brownian framework, and the reason for that is that in the case of general semi-martingales, our filtration should be generated now by Brownian motion. In the case of general semi-martingales, we don't have same generality for stochastic integration with respect to stochastic flows as in the case of Brownian motion. So it's more general in the case of semi-martingales, but if you go back to the Brownian framework, you don't get same results as result in the book of Kunita. So we had to restrict ourselves therefore to the framework where everything is done nicely, although this assumption clearly is not necessary for many results. Okay, and now we can state our corollaries, in fact, of some more general result, but these corollaries are stated in terms of the original inputs of the model. And there is a variety of statements here. First case is that we assume that every utility function is CK times continuously differentiable. I will explain this constant K later. And we also should have that the corresponding CK norm is finite for all derivatives of the order K, supremum over all axes in R. Absolute value here, derivative of order N of X. This should be less or equal than some constant C, less than infinity, for all indexes N which start from 1 to K capital. And K capital here is any integer, sufficiently to say smallest possible integer, such that K is greater than, we need to have CK plus 2 here, in order to be, and here, sorry, not utility functions, but risk aversion coefficients. So it corresponds to this condition. So if in the order 0, you have inequality above. So these are derivatives of risk aversion coefficients, and here you need to have K plus 2 differentiability. K is smallest integer greater than 2, this 2 appears here, plus the dimension of our model, which is J plus M over 2. So J is total number of traded stocks, M capital is total number of market agents, and 2 is factor here. So this comes from the work of Smitsman, who extended embedding theorems for Sobolev spaces in the case of stochastic integrals. And so you have here this kind of standard structure of constant and Sobolev spaces. 2 stands for smoothness, this is dimension, and 2 is power. And you cannot write here P for stochastic integrals, as Smitsman explained very well. So you cannot use P to kill dimension. So this one result, in this case, we obtain property A, but we don't know about property C. We can get weaker version of property C, but not property C. Good. We'll move up. I will finish soon. case two, it's related to the first case, always nice case. This is one why one should not start with it, because everything is too nice, you don't see effects. This is the case of exponential utilities. So when you use exponential utilities, then you get C. You get, not only you know that you can close from simple strategies consistently, but you also know that you can close to the whole space of left continuous with right limit process. Finally, case three, and then case four, maybe the most important practically, case three, because of the availability of Malivan calculus and Clark-Cocon formula, you can write the following conditions here. We have supremum, our utility function now is three times continuously differentiable. Instead of k derivatives here, it is sufficient here to have only one derivative for risk aversion. That should be constant, should be bounded by constant. And an extra assumption here is that total initial endowment in the economy plus payoffs are contingent claims, dividends of the stocks, they should be Malivan differentiable. So they should belong to the space D12. So they should be Malivan differentiable, and case three, of course, is used in order to produce maybe the most important result from the point of view, I would not say practical, but in order to ensure that our model will cover majority of small economic agent model, a particular case when you have the structure is the case when you have solution of stochastic differential equation, motivation for Malivan calculus, dBt, you assume that B and sigma are in C1 plus uniformly Lipschitz, then you can see the total endowment in the economy to be some function g of the terminal value of yt, contingent claims are some functions f of terminal value yt, and these functions f and g should be Lipschitz. So under these assumptions, we know that these random variables are Malivan differentiable, and in this case, again, so in case three, we obtain assumption C, and here we also obtain assumption C. In fact, we can say even more, but at least we can extend our strategies from the case of piecewise constant trading to the case of continuous trading. Yeah, so these are all assumptions, yeah. Assumption on utility function is here and there. So you need to have, again, supremum over x, derivative of risk aversion is less than c, less than plus infinity. So these are all honest assumptions. So I did not hide them. Yeah, that's time to stop. Sorry for taking extra 5 minutes.